Hello everyone, this is Maya Pessima with Ogina WebMag, Oromo Arts and Culture and Diaspora. Today I'm here with Bona Muhammad and Epidemic Ali to talk a little bit about where Oromo identity and hip-hop kind of meet. So welcome you guys.
Hello,
how are you doing?
Great. Just to let everyone know, we're actually doing this interview via the internet, so it's kind of interesting. We're all in different places right now. I am in Washington, D.C., and Bona Muhammad is in Toronto, and so is Epidemic Ali. I just wanted to let you know that we're kind of trying out new formats, and let's see what happens. So, you guys, I'm really excited to be here and kind of talk to you all about where we are as Oromo artists, or however you choose to identify yourselves. One thing I've really been interested in asking both of you is, we can kind of start off with the questions that we usually ask artists, kind of where how did you get started? So let me go ahead and ask Epidemic first. Okay. And Bona, I kind of want to pose the same kind of question to you. What got you started? What was kind of what pushed you in the direction that you are right now?
I guess it's funny because, you know, me and Ipsa grew up together, huh?
Awesome.
And I remember being heavily just influenced by, like, the Bercha sessions our fathers would be involved in, you know, where all the men would get together and just, like, politic, and growing up and kind of learning just the politics even around my own existence and my identity and where I was, like the reason why I live in Canada as opposed to back home, you know, I kind of always grew up with this just sense of just consciousness about like oppression of a normal people, but then that kind of transferred off into the oppression of other people. So
yeah,
I mean, I was always somebody who was kind of active in school, and like I wrote not seriously, I did some hip-hop when I was really young, but I guess it's when I became really self-conscious about my own identity and became self-conscious just about oppression in general and how that related to my own kind of identity, I began taking up the act of writing as an act of rebellion. And, you know, even the term jihad, people use that term kind of loosely, but a jihad is, it takes various forms, and one form of jihad is the jihad of the tongue and speaking up against oppression and using your words and truly, honestly believing in your heart that what is happening to people around the world is a bad thing. So I kind of took that mantra and just ran with it, and, you know, writing, whether it be short stories, poetry, hip-hop, whatever, it's just a form of storytelling, right? And we all come from, like, a very long line and very rigid line of, like, traditional, like, oral tradition and storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So having that kind of background and being able to just bounce that off my parents and the way in which they presented their stories in the past, I kind of came up with this hybrid form. Some people refer to it as, you know, spoken word or hip-hop or whatever, but it's just, it's root is storytelling.
Absolutely. Both of you kind of referred to where you kind of reflected on your own identity and kind of translated that into the music. And exactly how do you feel it when you are you're in this place now where you're kind of, you're free to talk about your own identity as Oromo people at this point? How has that always been the case for you? Have you always kind of, when you've been doing your music and your writing, have you always been speaking about your identity as an Oromo person, or is that something that kind of came up later on? Bona, I can answer that.
Yeah. You know, for me, the Oromo consciousness didn't come up until actually very recently, is when I started taking a kind of a more pro-Oromo stance, just maybe due purely out of ignorance and just because for me there's a big culture gap. Like obviously I grew up in a normal household and I grew up around a lot of normal people, but at one point I don't live in a normal area, so like I would go to see normal people like on the weekends at madrasa and like Muslim school and stuff like that, but then the rest of the time it was spent around like just random people of all backgrounds, and so there wasn't really. And the home life is like my parents are a lot of our parents are really focused on kind of maintaining life in the new world and kind of forget to pass on traditions of the past world. So you oftentimes find that that gap kind of results in just kind of a sheer lack of self-identity and a lack of self-knowledge. And, you know, I recently became a lot more interested in it. I grew up with a background of, you know, parents who were heavily involved in like the student movement and all that kind of stuff. Like most of us, like parents that were involved in just the liberation front, you know? And so just becoming educated about that and becoming more aware of what it meant to be Oromo. Because, you know, I'm guilty of it. A lot of people do it when you're young or whatever, and people ask you, like, oh, where are you from? And you just say Ethiopia, just to round it off. Because you don't want to sit there and give a whole geography lesson. You don't want to sit there and like be outcasted and be questioned about your own identity when even your people say Oromo, they don't even really know what it means, you know? So it's like the easy way around that sometimes is just say Ethiopia, even though as we know, like that is like a lot of people would take that as like an act of treason, basically, you know, to like kind of minimize the whole movement and just by just stating that we're just part of this kind of colonial front. So, I mean, once I started getting a lot more involved in like anti-oppression kind of framework around my writing and about just myself in general, like the question of my identity as it relates to Oromia was definitely something that I brought into my own life and something that, you know, a lot of people around me kind of started pushing heavily, and it was weird. It was a weird space for me because it's not that I didn't want to represent like Oromo people, Oromo communities. I just felt like I wasn't well versed enough. Like I just didn't know enough. Like I don't speak Afaan-Oromo. Like my Afaan-Oromo was very, very weak. So already I kind of felt like, you know, like you kind of feel like sometimes people will think of you differently and you don't feel as though you'll represent properly, or you don't feel as though people will respect you as much. So you're kind of like, okay, you know what? Let those people talk about Oromia. I'll just talk about whatever. But then you realize that, you know, this is not, Oromia doesn't belong to one person and this is my blood too, you know? So it's like I have just as right as anybody to speak about what's going on back home. And it's because it's about becoming educated about it, but also, you know, I talk to my little brothers and I talk to people just in general, even other people, wherever, and I ask them, like, do you really know about Oromo people? Like, you know, just even the political situation of back home, and for instance, the fact that, you know, Ethiopia, the country, the state itself, is predominantly an Oromo-filled state, you know? So that kind of already changes your framework when you think about Ethiopia, when you think about, you know, the horn. This is like an. We're indigenous people, like we're true, you know, indigenous people to that land. At the same time, we get the treatment that indigenous people get. So it's hard for me to talk about issues happening anywhere else if I can't relate to the issues happening to my own people back home.
Epidemic, do you have anything to add or to anything from your perspective?
Like Mona said, I agree. You know, we grew up over here and we basically have understanding of this life over here because we've been here since we were so young. So at the same time, like as I grew up, I basically been trying to find an identity for myself, growing up in different areas and going from Ottawa to Toronto to around Canada, basically, you know, and trying to figure out myself. And the only thing that really made sense to me, like after I moved from Ottawa and I came to Toronto, was I was trying to embrace something and I was trying to be a part of something. You know, the biggest thing that we can really be a part of, you know, is who we are, what our blood is, you know. These are the things that we basically need to recognize amongst ourselves and amongst other people in the world. I really believe in pride. I really believe like being, you know, having that sense of self-respect within yourself, because the only way you get respect is until you respect yourself. So that was
Absolutely.
basically my stance with it, and that's why I went forth with the whole rapping and the whole movement, because before this, like, we didn't really have an understanding of the whole Oromo struggle. Like, I knew I was Oromo, like Mona said, and a lot of times people come up to you and say, where are you from? And the best way to describe it is saying you're from Ethiopia. And it's not really about saying you're from Ethiopia. It's basically like knowing that when you say you're from Ethiopia, there's people from that land that don't feel like you're equal with them. I believe in understanding yourself before you can understand anybody else. And the best way to do that is understanding who your family is, where you came from. Because without understanding of the past, we can never make the future whole. And that's basically been my stance towards the whole movement and coming towards our people. Because I believe in the separation of people and basically like having different tribe things. And basically maybe because we grew up over here and we didn't have the mentality of, you know, this person's from this side or this side. I just believe in the Oromo as a whole and us bringing them up. And that's the whole reason why I say Oromo up, you know, because I believe in our pride and our respect, and that's the one thing that we need to get out there, you know? When people start
Thank you. It did. And that kind of leads me to my next question. I was wondering, I mean, a lot of the Oromo music that we've been hearing from the artists, the pop artists that we've known for years and years, you know, all the ones that we've known since we were very young and our parents have listened to, there was a strong emphasis, you know, as epidemic as you were talking about, of Oromo pride and this need to kind of assert ourselves as a people. And do you think that there's a space for us to be kind of self-critical, or do you think that that could be hurtful to us as Oromo people? Is it important for us to kind of reflect and say these are the issues that we have as a people, and should we address that publicly through our music or privately, just as you know, between each other? Do you think it's a good idea, or it would be kind of dangerous to do so at this state of our development as a people?
Yeah, you know what, can I just jump on that?
Sure.
You just had a quick just reflection. Like, it's funny, like I was in Minnesota this summer, and you know, I'm out there and I'm learning a lot, and I'm actually trying to do this little documentary on Oromo people. Mm-hmm. And like me, I guess out of ignorance, I'm really kind of blunt, and I'm really, like, I don't realize, like, I'm not really down with the whole tribal thing. Like, I don't care, you know, where you're from, or if you're from east or from west or whatever mm-hmm. part of, you know, your family's village. I think Epidemic said, like, Oromo's Oromo, you know?
Yeah.
So because of that, I'm kind of ignorant to that fact. Like, I don't really care to it, and I don't know enough to really kind of think about it. So, and I remember asking people, like, okay, well, what are the issues? Like, we talk about, you know, Oromos are the only ones really holding Oromos back. Like, such a large population, and the majority of people, there's no real reason. And somebody was asking me the other day, some Somali girl was like, yo, like, why do Oromo people take over? Like, you guys are the biggest group. And I had no answer. I'm like, you know, that's a wicked, like, that's the million-dollar question. And I guess the biggest thing that comes to mind is because Oromos are usually the ones to stop another Oromo, you know? Oromos hate on their Oromos more than anybody else. It's like we're sometimes our worst enemies. And it's oftentimes like we can't be critical of ourselves. And people have issues with each other, you know, whether it's religion, whether it's region, whether it's whatever. Like, there's obviously issues between Oromo people that, you know, sometimes it's like putting our trash out for the rest of people to see, you know, like putting our dirty secrets out for everyone to see. And like the question of, you know, where do we discuss it kind of privately or openly, I think, is something that really does have to be analyzed and discussed, because there's benefits and there's, you know, pros and cons to both. I actually, and I'm doing this, I'm still in the phase, but for my documentary, one thing I wanted to do was kind of organize a little Oromo town hall meeting, right? And use the kind of Oromo network that I have within Toronto, and really kind of focus mainly on young people, like focus on the younger Oromos, like the first generation, you know, the ones that are kind of born here or came here when they were fairly young. Focus on them and really kind of use that ignorance to really kind of show that these kind of boundaries that were there historically are really not that, they don't really mean that much in this context. In the context of Oromo liberation, they're not really that significant, you know? So I had a conversation the other day with some brothers that I know from school who are Oromo, and they're Christian. And I didn't know that, and I didn't really, when they told me, I was like, okay, whatever, it's not a big deal. But I, as an Oromo growing up in Toronto, I never really knew any Christian Oromos, to be completely honest with you. Like, it wasn't something that I really heard of. Like, all the Oromos I knew were Muslim, and it was like kind of a shared, like, it was just kind of, we were this homogenous group, like, everybody was the exact, like, I knew everybody's names, you know, like, most people, like, we all went to the same madrasa or whatever. So when they told me that, I asked them, like, well, you know, what's the division, like, what do you guys find? And they actually sat down, they were like, yo, like, we've never actually had this conversation, you know, like, but there is tension. Like, certain people have claimed that, you know, the Christian Oromos were the ones who were more lenient or were willing to work with, you know, their Christian brethren who were, like, you know, the Amharas or whoever at the time. So that's it. They say a lot of Oromo people, especially Muslim Oromos, have kind of confronted them on that and been like, yo, like, that's whack, you guys should have done that. And just to see that open conversation and for them to actually bring that up, and I was like, wow, this is like, I guess we're kind of crossing boundaries right now, because it's something that people don't talk about.
Good point to make, Bonnie, you know, and I just want to just touch back on what you were kind of asking about, do you feel like the pride issue and us basically trying to be like, showing that we're inferior and we can be better than whoever else is around us, will that hurt us or make us better? I truly believe, you know, regardless of what you tell somebody, their feelings towards you won't change, because it's been so long, we've been oppressed for so long, we've been just something that unnecessary, you know? They can cause a lot of hatred. I've got dozens of messages of people telling me, oh, you're this, you're that, you're trying to separate us people, and you're trying to separate these people from us, and I just want to get, like, touch on one question that I got, like, it really makes sense to me, you know? Somebody asked me, and he said, my mom is Amara, and my dad is Oromo. So what am I supposed to do in the position where you're talking about freedom is key? Do I leave one side of my family for the other? And my response to that, like, the way I felt about that topic was, like, as Oromos, we don't talk about other people being less than us, or another, like, other people that's living amongst us is lower than us, or not as good as us. Our reasoning for all of this is because we want to show that we're just as good. You know, we should have that respect, the same respect that you have for each other. We should have that same respect, and that's my whole point of just speaking the truth and letting it get out there, because people's feelings are gonna come out regardless. So going back to it, like, will the pride, or, like, you know, speaking out this message, will it hurt us to make us better? It's been hurting us for 100 years, you know.
Yeah.
It's been hurting us for so long already. Speaking out the truth can only make things better, and if not, at worst, it'll make you see who's who. You'll see the faces of the one that's standing in front of you. If they feel like you're less than them, when you say what you say, when you speak the truth, that's the time when they're gonna look at you with that school face or with that smile, because they know that things are changing. You know what I'm saying? Our struggle is similar to the American struggle. I do believe the black person's struggle in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got to the point where they speak their feelings now. You know, at one point, white people, their word was nigger for black people. And at this point in day and age, white people, even if they do feel like saying that word, they won't say it because they feel so disgusted by that. Because it's been spoken out against for so long. So I feel like we need to do the same thing, and that's the way.
Understand. Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but one thing that I just want to ask you again is, do you think it would be a problem if we start talking about some of our issues through our art, or kind of addressing those issues through our art? Would that be? Do you think that would end up kind of hurting us, not only through the eyes of other people, but through each other's eyes? Would that be something that could ultimately benefit us, or just you know, kind of keep us in the position that we're still in today, which is, you know, we're getting there. We're always going to be getting to the point where we want to, what we call freedom. And we do you think that through your art we're allowing a space for us to kind of talk about our internal issues?
Speaking for myself, and I'm pretty sure we're one of two, because he uses music as not just music, but poetry and writing as a way to express himself.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, like, my only judgment that I feel is with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way you feel life and what you feel is something that you have to express, like, especially with music. Because a lot of times, like, we could be talking about jumping in the club and talking about all these things that are irrelevant, but we decide to talk about things that are conscious and things that could, you know, bring awareness to people. And at the end of the day, knowledge is always good. For the good or for the bad, knowledge is good. People will understand our struggle. And I don't believe that it's been done through English music. You know, like, right now we're born into, and I really respect it for, you know, the poetry, through the music, and I try to do the same thing myself. It's something that hasn't been done for people. You know, we've been speaking about struggle amongst each other for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're taking the steps to speak in English, we're not trying to affect the people that are in the country that hate us already, because they're going to continue to hate us. But when the rest of the world starts to recognize us, we're using a language that's recognized throughout the whole world. And when you can use that to, like, something that they like hip-hop, or, you know, whether it be poetry or whatever it may be, but that's something that they can identify. And when they look at you, they need something to identify with you. If you tell somebody, Oromia will be free, you know, we can march all day and do those kind of things, but if they don't have something to identify, like, something that they can relate to, then it's hard to understand. And that's any people in this world. So I truly feel that it's something that can only help us and only make us better. You know, unless you want to touch up on that, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think the main point he's trying to touch on is that, you know, the healthy dialogue is needed. Like, whether or not, you know, people will see that as kind of a negative thing, the fact that we're discussing, you know, issues openly. And I understand what the question was. Like, you're basically asking, like, you know, should we be discussing these internal issues as well? Like, putting our kind of garbage on the table for everyone to see. And I think we should. And I think that's also healthy, because the moment we do that, this is the moment we can critically kind of reflect on it and see how dumb it really is. You know, the moment we can show everybody and really be embarrassed of how kind of immature and childish a lot of our leaders have been. The moment is, I think, we can start actually taking that, you know, to heart and really kind of, because, I mean, we're not fake the funk, you know, like, everybody has kind of a little bit of dirt, a little bit of gossip on them. Like, this is, like, something that is not unique to the Oromo community, you know. Of course there's going to be infighting, of course there's going to be all this kind of stuff. And you know, I'm down for putting it out there just to almost just kind of embarrass people, not because I see it as, you know, something that will play a large role. Like, I don't think, you know, as much as I wish to think the rest of the world is watching, is like, as of now, they're really not. So it's almost just for all the people will see it. And at that point, I think it's once people start getting it, they're like, yo, we can't actually be fighting about these tiny little dumb things. Like, we have to really be united front. You know, this is the liberation front. Like, we all have to be on the front, you know, like we can't leave anyone behind, basically. So in order to do that, we all have to be on the same page. In order to do that, we have to have this kind of healthy dialogue, and it has to be done openly. And if that involves putting some of our dirt on the table, then so be it, you know? Mm-hmm. In order for any struggle or anything to make change, you need to brush a couple feathers. Like, something's got to get messed up. So if that's what it takes, then by all means, let's do it.
All right. You know, both of you kind of mentioned speaking, you know, us kind of putting this out there and out for the kind of public to hear. And I know that both of you, I mean, we're speaking English right now. We're, you know, you're rapping in English, you're doing poetry in English, and Epidemic brought up this point earlier, but do you find that you have an audience with non-Oromos who can kind of start to get what's going on in the Oromo community through, you know, being able to, now that you're speaking English, is it something that's now going to be easier to do when you kind of are now speaking to a larger audience, or do you kind of still feel like now is the time to address our community, and then we can then move on to something a little bit larger? Bona, do you want to go ahead with that, or?
Yeah. I don't think it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. I think there's a fair balance. Like, I don't think it's a matter of simply addressing Oromo people or simply addressing, like, I guess the larger English-speaking population. For a long time, like, a lot of, you know, obviously the language barrier was a big thing. Like, a lot of singers have been here, or, like, even, you know, Elmo, like, even, like, Ipsa's dad, like, famous Oromo mm-hmm. singer, like, somebody that's been doing it, you know, Ali Bira, like, all these, like, historical cats who, you know, spoke to the Oromo community, they spoke to the people they knew, and they spoke to the people who they felt needed that education, you know? It's like, during the 60s and 70s, during the whole social movement, it was like, that was what was needed. The Oromo people had to get educated first before they could start addressing anything else, you know? So I think that generation did their job, and they really did kind of instill that in people's heads, that as Oromo people, we have to recognize, you know, our Uma, we have to recognize our own nation, and really kind of use that as a platform to then educate other people. But I think at our day and age, like, that's almost kind of been set for us. I think the Oromo people are somewhat on the board. So it's like I'm staying away as much as I can from the trap of speaking about Oromia to Oromo people strictly, you know, where it's like, hey, did you know Oromo people are oppressed? And they're like, yeah, I just came from that oppression, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
This is not something productive in a sense where it's like, if we ever want our situation to be put on the same platform as, like, say, a Darfur, or people could even recognize it as a real human genocide, because this is what it is, you know? This is a genocide occurring in the heart of the Horn, and nobody really wants to address it. And part of it is they just don't know. And for such a large group of people, it's a shame that a lot of us haven't reached out to find allies, basically, is what you need to do, you know? For any front, like, you need people on your side. So part of what I do, and I guess this is just strictly because I speak English, is that I do touch other people, and I do reach out to other people because other people understand English. You know, not everyone understands Afana Oromo. Even some Oromos don't understand Afana Oromo. So that gap is obviously something that's been a deterrent in getting everyone else on board with us, you know? The fact that people haven't reached out in that tongue. I feel like communication is such a large issue. So I know Ipsa, myself, just the fact that we do, you know, stuff in English means that by default we are going to attract a different crowd, you know? We are going to attract people who will hear us, may not understand at first,
mm-hmm.
but upon that tiny bit of kind of curiosity, may follow up with it. You know, I make sure that anytime I do, like, you know, Oromo specific pieces, and I've started doing a couple, like, at venues, and I'm just really waiting for, like, you know, when you have these, like, Black History Month shows and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
like, I love the idea of bringing up Oromo people to people who would consider themselves, like, Afrocentric, or, you know,
yeah.
or Rastas. Like, I love dropping the Oromo thing on Rastafarians, personally. That's, like, a little fetish of mine, because I feel like this is something that when people do have the opportunity to figure out about, they'll be so shocked and so, like, oh, my God, like, are you serious? Like, people are being oppressed in Ethiopia, like, the, you know, the Holy Land, like, this great place, and it's like, yeah, joke's on you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we're using this medium to attract another audience and to find allies, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's progressive, and I think that, you know, it's a balance. Like, obviously, we're speaking on behalf of Oromo people, so I wouldn't speak on behalf of Oromo people without speaking to Oromo people. That's contradictory itself. So, I mean, my only thing is that I think Oromo people already get it. You know, I think they're up to speed on what the situation is. They understand Oromo people are getting screwed back home. So it's now, how do we pitch that to the rest of the world and really kind of get them on our side?
Got it. And Epidemic, do you have anything to add to that, or?
Yeah, for sure. Like Bonnie said, you know, we both come from like fathers and families that were really going through the process of trying to make Oromia what it could be and what it's becoming right now, you know, and we come from that history. And even though we grew up over here, it's something that's instilled in us, you know, and we're just basically the fruits of the labor, something that came out of, you know, basically I feel like from nothing, you know, because actually I can tell this point in my life, the last couple of years, and I started understanding the whole Oromo struggle really deeply, and not just knowing that I'd be 10, you know, so I believe that through educating ourselves and music being a way that we do that, we need to let that out. We need to speak because there's so many people out there that feel like, you know, in this world, a lot of people, like, they want to relate, but they want to look at people that's amongst themselves and relate to them. And all of us are so large in a population, but we're not recognized in this world because we need examples. We need borders out there. We need epidemics. We need people that are willing to demise and show their talent. Because both of us at the same time, we touch other topics, you know, we talk about the world in general, you know, talking about the world struggle and what's becoming of this world, and at the same time, the Oromo side is something that's in our blood, something that's just a part of us, something that we can't deny. So, speaking on it, I just think we're only better ourselves, but at the same time, I do believe that we should touch other topics and try to relate to the other world, and, you know, talking about certain topics, whether it's in the ghetto, or whether it's about, you know, AIDS, or whether it's about poverty, or all these kind of topics could be touched on. We have to have a foundation. We have to have something like people look at you and they're like, oh, those are those guys. Those Oromo guys, though. Where do they come from, you know? What's their history, you know? And we have that capability. So at the same time, as we should be touching every other topic out there, anything that has feeling, anything that could be helped out. I feel like, you know, that's my main purpose in life. You know, things that can't be spoken of, you know, that shouldn't be spoken of, you know, being that kind of rebel. And I do believe that Bon is in a similar position because he's smart, you know? So, yeah, at the end of the day, whether you're speaking about your people or whether you're speaking about the oppression of the world. As long as you're speaking truthfully and trying to make things get out there, then that's the best way to go, you know?
I have a question specifically for you, actually. You kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. We're kind of shifting gears, but sort of in the same vein. You're obviously, your father is a very famous Oromo artist, and you know, widely regarded and respected, and now you're also an artist. And do you find yourself sometimes responding to some of the things that he's done in the past, or kind of where do you kind of see yourself in relation to that, or do you not see yourself in relation to that directly? How do you see
Well, definitely, I do believe that that's a major influence that, like, influenced me to want to get into Oromo community. Mm-hmm. Seeing the fact that he was seen, and it was like, whenever I would talk to him, I guess just over time, and, you know, being in certain situations, whether it's Oromo soccer or whether it's, you know, some kind of Oromo event, and just being out there and knowing that, you know, I could have the privilege if I go out there and use the talent that God has blessed with, and just try to get it out there to the people. But I'm trying to keep me more like, not in terms of looking on one side of a topic, you know, or looking at one page, or just looking at one side of the story, as well as being around our people, and, you know, just being around Oromo people in general, whether it's in Toronto or in America, and just, you know, that feeling of just being around people, knowing, like, that's me, you know? Like, we went to, like, the little conference they had in Washington, there was a march not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
When we came into the room, like, I haven't been to an Oromo event like that for so long, you know? We came in there, and everybody's there for the same reason. And just that feeling of knowing that everybody's there because I'm Oromo, you know, that's a feeling that I can't even explain, you know? It's just something that touches me so much, so that's basically where it came from. And, yeah, you know, to answer that question about the father, yeah, I do believe that he was also an influence in trying to make this happen.
Okay, thank you both of you very much. If there's anything you kind of want to put out there before we wrap up, go ahead. And otherwise, thank you so much for sitting down and talking to everyone. And hopefully we can just keep with this conversation, and we can have something kind of cool happened, and thank you for all that you've been doing.
Well, thank you, and thank you very much for actually taking the initiative around, like, you know, creating the scene and kind of creating a dialogue and a forum for us to speak about the issue of back home within the diaspora, because I think that's something that's highly neglected. So, you know, great job on that as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
I believe, like, things like this, getting on the internet and, you know, talking amongst each other, that's a part of the awareness. You know, beyond the music, people have to understand where the music is coming from or where the poetry is coming from, and I think this is really something good for our people as well as, you know, us as individuals. So I wanted to thank you for that, the time that you put for us today.
Thank you very much, and thank you. Thank you. This has been an interview with Bona Muhammad and Epidemic Alif. Again, thank you very much, and we hope to catch up with you very soon afterwards.
Okay.